Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Acts chapter 20. Paul has completed his third missionary journey, and he is now talking to the elders of the church in Ephesus, reminding them of some things. He knows also that he's going to visit in Jerusalem, but he's already been warned that his life may be in danger. And if you read the rest of the book, you'll see that there was good reason for that. But anyway, we are picking up our scripture reading today at Acts 20, verse 28. Verse 28. This is what he says to the elders, but I believe also to all Christians as well. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and so to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that with these hands ministered to my own necessities, and to those who are with us. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all, and they embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word that he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. As you know, Paul has been giving a very involved final lesson to the people of some of the churches where he has been ministering. He did this in a public way in an earlier city, and now he goes and speaks to the group of elders from the Ephesian church. This is a private meeting with just the leadership there, but still the things that he tells them are vital for everyone who is truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives a number of warnings, and we want to remember that every one of these warnings are still very important even to this day. You notice, first of all, that he warns us that there are dangers that are all around us. And Paul repeated this many different times. He did this when he wrote to Timothy, who had been pastoring at Ephesus. And this was something, too, that he continually warns Christians about all the time, to look out, because there are so many people that would want to distort the gospel, twist it into something different than what it really is, and lead people astray from the clear and unmistakable word of God. And so he warns them very carefully about this. And he knows that the only way that we can be kept from being deceived, from being distorted in some way, and that is by looking to the word of God itself. The word is the only clear path that we can follow. And so this is why we keep emphasizing here at Faith Chapel all the time this clear theme of ours, that we want to bring the whole word to the whole world. Why the whole word? Because if you don't give the whole word, you're going to get just part of it, and it's not going to be the complete truth. It's going to be twisted in some ways. Sometimes worse than others, but nonetheless, we want to be found doing the whole word. And the Apostle Paul could clearly tell them when he was here, he said, as he spoke to them, that I have brought to you the whole word of God. I've given you the whole counsel of God. There is nothing that God has declared that I am aware of that I have not shared with you. And that's a great testimony. That should be the testimony of every Christian, too, that they want to seek out what God has written in His Word. Every part of it, not just certain parts. It's so easy to pick and choose and become selective about what we like from the Word, and the parts that we don't like, well, it's easy to leave them aside. And yet, that's not what we are to do. Not what we are to preach, not what we are to do in our lives as well. Every part of the Word of God is for us. All Scripture is given for our instruction, for our reproof, for our training in righteousness, so that we may be complete Christians in every way. Paul warns us too about another thing. Not only the fact that there are dangers all around us, but also that there are dangers even among us. Look at what he states in verse 30 here as he is writing to them. And from among your own selves, he says, will arise people speaking twisted things that draw away disciples after them. People don't want to think that this can happen in churches, but it's always been Satan's target to attack not just individual Christians, but churches entirely, because if he can destroy a church or an organization of churches, then it's something that can affect many other people in a very negative way. And here he clearly reminds them again that they are not only to watch in regard to their own lives and how they live their lives, but they are also to be mindful of what is going on even in their relationship with fellow Christians. One of the examples that are given clearly in the New Testament is given in the book of 3 John, and there the Apostle Paul gives us an example of a person that was in the local church who was someone who was twisting and distorting everything and trying to lead the people of God astray. We're going to look at him for just a brief moment here so that you will see that these are not just idle things that Paul is talking about here. These are things that need to be remembered and followed very carefully. The third letter of John, he talks about this man, Diotrephes, and he speaks about him in verses 9 through 11. He says, I have written something to the church about Diotrephes. This is John the Apostle speaking now. He says, he likes to put himself first. He does not acknowledge our authority. And so if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to be and he puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good, rather, is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. And so here we see a clear illustration of a man actually named by the Apostle John, someone who is distorting the situation. If you want to do a little interesting reflection on this, look at what it says there about Diotrephes and compare what you know about the devil himself. Some of the things that are clearly taught about the devil in Scripture are also clearly taught about this man who is functioning right there in the local church. What's one of the things that the devil wanted to do right from the beginning? He wanted to be number one. He wanted to be first. He wanted to be in control. He wanted to be in charge. And you notice that this is what was happening with this man too, Diotrephes. He wanted to be first among the people. And he did not want to even submit to apostolic authority. Here are the people that actually went with Jesus Christ and who were taught by Jesus Christ. And as you know about John, he was even the disciple whom Jesus himself is said to have loved. And now here is a man who has risen in the church and he is somehow wanting to lord it over this person and try to negate everything that is being taught by the apostle. And so you see that this kind of thing can happen, and this is something we need to be aware of and make sure that not only that we are watching for danger that can come to our own selves, but also that can rise up even within us as a congregation or as a group. Now there is another thing too. He reminds us here that there are dangers also within us. And now he's talking about on the inside, our own characters, our own personalities, our own conduct and our actions as believers in Jesus Christ. Look at what he says here in the verses that follow. We notice a number of items that he mentions that clearly indicate when Christians are not walking according to the way that God would have them walk. They have to not only look out for the false teachers outside and the troublemakers from the inside, but they also need to look even inside of their own hearts, because they're going to find certain things that are not reflective of genuine Christian character. For example, verse 31. He speaks here, he says, "Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears." He's telling them, don't be careless. Don't be high-minded. Don't think that because you have professed the name of Christ that all is well and that you have nothing to learn, you have nothing to grow, you have no dangers to look out for even in your own personal life. He makes it very clear. He says, for 3 years I warned the Christians in Ephesus again and again and again. You might say, well, why harp on some of these same old things? Well, we all know, we've all heard the saying that the repetition is the mother of learning. If you want to learn things, you need to hear it again and again and again. I sometimes wish that a lot of things that I know had been taught to me through some of the tunes that I learned as a teenager. I mean, there are some of those crazy songs that we heard on radio at that time that we never tried to learn, but we know all the words to them even today. You know, a lot of times we can sing all those songs almost word for word. Why is that? Because we heard them again and again and again. Repetition. Well, you know, if we continually give ourselves to things that are false and are not careful what we are doing, we open up the door to difficulties. In view of the imminent perils that they faced, he calls them to be on their guard. They are constantly to remember that for 3 days he warned them. That's a remarkable thing. Three years is a long period of time, really, when you think about it. You know, that's how long people that went to seminary in my day, they went at least 3 years. Some of them went for a bachelor's degree, a bachelor's in divinity. That was a 3-year program. Those that went for a master's degree in divinity, that was a 4-year program. But you see, for 3 years, it was almost like they were in school by the Apostle Paul, and he was warning them again and again and again not to be careless about their lives or about their conduct. Now, he goes on, and he warns them also about shallowness, verse 32. "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." What does he want them to remember especially? To think about themselves, to think all about personal success and how they can be someone great and magnificent in the eyes of the world? Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being successful, and there's nothing wrong with having a good reputation in the eyes of people all around you and with people who know you. But nonetheless, the main thing is here, he said, I commend you to God, that your conduct will be one that, more importantly than all these other things that the world considers so important, I want to commend you to God so that your life before God will be what it should be. That God is the most important thing in your life. That you are making him number one. He is Savior, yes, but he is also Lord. He is King also. He's in charge of you, and I commend you to him, because only he can see us through effectively. You know, I noticed this morning, I never saw this until I was reading the words this morning of the last song that we did. And I want to point out something that just caught my eye as I was reading it. I'm sure the Lord just was showing it to me again, reminding me of these things. But there is a phrase in there that says, it talks about this fact. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. Why do we need that? Because we need his help. We need to have him be the one that we are close to, that we are commending ourselves to him. And he says, all my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. You think about that. Who do you want guiding your life? Who do you want running the program? Do you want to be the boss? Do you want to be the one that's in charge? Or are you going to follow the Scripture's ways? Scripture says that without him, you can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that's why we are to look to him. But it now is this next line that is really important. He says, the protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. Just think of that. God looks at you as a Christian and says, I am making a charge even to myself that I'm going to watch over that child. I'm going to watch over that one because that is my child. That is my treasure. That is one that is very important to me. And he said, I'm going to watch over that charge. Why? Because I'm going to protect it. I want to make sure that it goes properly. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. It's a responsibility that he himself has taken upon him, his own self, to be all these things. You notice here Paul talks about another thing here in this matter too, of the dangers within us. Not only don't be careless, don't be shallow in our approach to things. We've already talked about the fact that that includes getting the whole Word of God and not just part of it. He also says, watch out for the dangers of covetousness. Now, a lot of people might say, well, you know, I don't really have a danger with covetousness. But yet, when you think about it, how often the emphasis today is on things, upon stuff, upon wealth of a physical and material and tangible matter. And you notice what he says here as he talks about this in verse 33. He says, I coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel. Does that sound like some of the preaching you're hearing on television these days? I'm not going to name any names or anything like that, but how much of what you hear is all about what? Big time success. How to acquire wealth. How to become rich in this world's goods. Again, does God oppose the fact that people have many of the Lord's blessings, physical blessings? No, I don't think so. I believe that God gives us all that we need, but many times more than what we need even. But you know what? You notice here that he says, I wasn't in the ministry looking for ways to get rich or to find ways to get a lot of money, because he said that wasn't what it was all about for me. And he said, I didn't take your money. I didn't take the special clothes. I didn't ask you for, you know, special favors for self personally and all of that. It was very much centered on ministering to them, not they ministering to him. Paul did not covet these things. And that's a good warning too, isn't it? It was an unselfish attitude. Is it wrong for people who are in ministry to be funded? No. But this is not to be the main goal of this whole thing. For so many people, that's what it is. Onward and upward. And yet, that's not what Paul says here. He displayed a certain character, a certain attitude here that demonstrated that He understood the things that were really, really important. This involved two things. Number one, going on to look at the next point here, he says, don't also, as leaders in the congregation and as Christians too, be people who are known to be lazy. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and those who are with me. Paul was always doing things and seeking to do more and more and more. And, you know, I'm not in any way trying to sound defensive, but I feel that this is something that we have tried to do here, both Connie and myself. Connie does a lot of the calling, although sometimes I will do that with her, but she does a lot of visitation with people to make sure that people are doing all right in terms of their personal lives. In my own situation right now, 4 times a week, and usually at least 4, but sometimes 5, we're doing teaching at some place, twice here, but at least 2 other places, and sometimes 3. Now, why am I telling you that? Because I see that as a responsibility. It's not just, a lot of people say, well, you know, it must be nice to be in the ministry. You know, you have a job there, you have to give 1 sermon a week, and that's it. You don't have to do anything else. Well, we try to keep the lawn mowed. We try to preach 4 or 5 different places. We try to use our music in a lot of different places too. And I'm not saying that to brag. It's just a reminder that God wants every one of us to use our talents and abilities, that we have a responsibility to do that. I have a responsibility to do that, and so do all of us. We have been given abilities and talents and responsibilities to use because God has placed them upon us. They're not our own. They're not just for our use or our own wherewithal. It is something to be used for Him. All the things that we have are to bring glory to God and not to self. And so he reminds them about this too in the matter of laziness. And he also reminds them of this in the matter of selfishness. He said, remember something that Jesus said. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now you might say, well, where did Jesus say that? I can't remember a scripture text where he said that. You know what? There isn't any. You say, well, did he say it? Well, he did say it. You say, well, how do you know? Well, because Paul said so. Paul had heard it from Jesus Christ himself. He knew from some other source, probably other apostles as well, that this was one of the things that Jesus clearly taught, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. But he does not quote an actual scripture in any way to indicate that, because of the simple fact that there is no scripture to that effect in the Old Testament, and that was primarily what the apostles worked with when they were teaching the Bible. They taught the Old Testament and the things that God clearly revealed to them. Paul knew that this was something that Jesus clearly taught. He's reminding them of this fact, that they are to remember the important fact that we are to bless others as well. This is why Connie talks to you about these different mission fields. This is why we look very carefully to see where things are going here. And we are grateful, too, that many of the people, even right here from this small congregation, are also doing things like this, even in other places, that they work for other Christian organizations and other Christian activities where they are using their abilities, and they're not saying, well, you know, I can't do that. I have my own time and I can't do that for anybody else. They are, if they're following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said it's more blessed to give, and there's no stipulation on what this is. Certainly that's tangible financial things, but it's a lot bigger than that. It means time, it means talent, it means energy. It means all the different gifts that God has given you, putting those into use. They're all necessary to use for the Lord. And when people use those gifts and they bless us through that, that is a wonderful thing. We are thankful for it. And every Christian should be thankful when other Christians do that for them. But you know what? In the final analysis, the big responsibility is for us to do for others rather than to thinking about what they might be doing for us. This is a primary consideration, not being characterized by selfishness, but being characterized by what? A willingness to give and to show ourselves following the example of the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul has given all these instructions. And, of course, he had been instructing them for a long time. He had Timothy working in Ephesus. He also worked there himself for several years. He also would write the great letter to the Ephesians, one of the finest letters that Paul ever penned. And yet, with all of that teaching of the Word of God, all of that important instruction, all of that example of the Word of God being lived out in his own life, he didn't stop with just the Word. He realized that there was something else that needed to happen. It needed to happen again and again and again. Do yourself a favor sometime and just carefully read through the letters that Paul wrote. And you will notice in every one of those letters, practically, he talks about something that he is doing. He's praying for the people. We even have a song that goes like this. I don't remember what the song is called, but I remember the line from the song. If you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, you can share to your neighbor and tell how Christ died for all. You know, that's a good line there. If you can't preach like Peter, somebody says, well, God didn't call me to be a preacher. Maybe not. But God does have gifts and talents for you to use. But don't forget, if I cannot preach like Peter, if I cannot pray like Paul, isn't that amazing? You might think with all the teaching and all the instruction that Paul gave, a man so talented, so knowledgeable, a man who had studied at the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest Jewish teacher probably of his day, he studied under that man. And yet, with all the teaching that Paul did everywhere he went, what is picked out in the letters again and again and again about prayer, about prayer, about prayer? And the old songwriter said, you can't preach like Peter, you can't pray like Paul. There's still things you can do. You know what? I think Paul is showing us again right here in this passage of Scripture before he leaves these people how important prayer really is. Is prayer important only when Christians are going to leave each other? No. It is important for those times. Elsa reminded us of that this morning. I thought what she said was very appropriate and fitting for what we're talking about here today. She clearly had read this passage of Scripture before she picked out her songs. But you know, the thing is, Paul realized that nothing of spiritual significance happens in people's lives until what? Until people pray something. That's when it starts. Now, you need to know the Word of God. You need to tell other people the Word of God. You need to pass it along to your children, to your grandchildren. You need to do every chance you can to lovingly present the truth to people and let them know the Word of God. But don't forget the fact that without prayer, without the power of God attending the preaching and attending the teaching, it's not going to have the effect that it needs to have. And that's why prayer is a very important thing. And we see that even here as Paul is going to leave them one last time. He doesn't just wish them a fond farewell and say, well, I hope it's all going to work out for us. I hope you have a good year coming up. And yeah, I sure hope I do too, because it doesn't sound very good what they're telling me. If I go up to Jerusalem, I might get killed there. It doesn't sound very hopeful. He could have said stuff like that, but he didn't. When he got down with them, he got down on his knees, and what did he do? He prayed with them and prayed, I believe, for them. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. There was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, very sorrowful, most of all because of the word that he had spoken, that he would not see his face again. And you know, we don't know when we'll see each other again. We don't know how long it will be before the next time that we can visit. I was real glad this morning, frankly, when Kevin Green drove in this morning. How could I miss him with that truck, you know? I mean, it's just easy to identify. There's not many around quite like it. But you know, it's always nice to see people when you haven't seen them for a while, isn't it? And sometimes, of course, you see them and it's the last time. Someone passes on. Or maybe somebody moves to another area and you don't see them again. Or they move even to another country. But you know what? No matter how far apart, we can continue to pray for all those that still remain here in this world and pray for them no matter where they are. You know why? Because God answers prayer. God hears prayer. God hears prayers for people in other countries. He hears prayers for people right there in your neighborhood or in your home or in your life or whatever it is. Prayer is an important thing. And I think these people realized it too. I wonder if they all wept while Paul was teaching them the final words there of instruction. Oh, I'm sure they were greatly stirred. I'm sure that emotionally they were really drawn to what he was saying. But you know what? It was when he got down on his knees in front of them all and prayed for them, prayed for the future of all of them, I believe. That was when it really connected to that it is the fact of our oneness in Jesus Christ that transcends all physical time, all of our physical distances, all of the things that seem to divide us because of many of the things that interfere with what we think are so important. But yet, our oneness in Jesus Christ connects it all, and that oneness is always ours through the avenue of prayer. We can pray for one another. We can pray on behalf of ministries and other places. We can pray for countries of the world like Guatemala. How many Christians are there that need, you know, God's protection right now with that whole situation? Not to mention all those who are still unsaved people. There's always need for continued prayer, and that's what Paul placed here as a final emphasis as he met with these folks. But now, when you see those two important things, the Word of God fleshed out and the powerful prayer that is delivered out to God and on behalf of others, as we see that, now is there anything else? I think Warren Wiersbe hit it right. He says, but now there is much to do here on earth on behalf of the kingdom of God. We are called upon to work together faithfully until Jesus comes again. That's why Paul was going to Jerusalem. He knew that he might get killed there or might be arrested there, and later he was, and eventually brought to Rome where he died. Now, it took 4 years for that whole process to happen, but still, he knew that it could happen very soon. And yet, he was still willing to go there because there were things that he knew that the Spirit of God wanted him to do and things that needed to be accomplished. And he had to keep going, keep working until the day that God said, all right, it's time to come home. Or until the day that Jesus Christ comes again, whatever comes first. But it's going to happen. Both of them are going to happen. One of these days, God is going to say, okay, your time here on earth is over with. Come on home. But maybe that'll happen not so because of you might be one of the ones that are still living yet when Jesus comes again. But both of those things are going to happen, either death or the coming of Christ or both will be yours. And so what do we need to do? We need to say, as long as I have life, as long as I'm still here in this world, as long as I am still committed to serving Jesus Christ and building up his kingdom and honoring him before men, as long as that is my privilege, I will keep on doing that as long as God gives me the strength to carry on in whatever ministry or whatever position that he wants me to do. And that's very important, isn't it? That's what Paul did here too. He gives us a wonderful example of a Christ-honoring example of how to follow the Lord with devotion, with dedication, and also with diligence. That is what Christian living is all about, all of these things, as we've seen here today. Let's pray to God now. Father in heaven, help us to look at this man, Paul, remarkable man that he was, and not honor him, but to appreciate the things not only that he did, but what he has taught us and what he has shown us and given to us an instruction for us to follow. We are thankful, Lord, that we are not left in the dark about what we are to do in the intervening time before we see you face to face. We are thankful that you have clearly spelled it out for us. Your word is plain. Our responsibilities are clear. Lord God, help us to do the work of the Lord while it is still the time to do. We pray all of this now, asking it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.